I was going to start out the sermon today with everyone enjoys a good love story. But after the conversation downstairs about flowers and being romantic, I'm not sure I can continue to say that. But let's just say the majority of people out there enjoy a good love story. I have, over the past year, shared many of my peculiar movies that I've enjoyed or books that I've read with you. And today will be no different. Also up there in my list of, I don't know, maybe top 10 movies is one called, and the book is, as from what I've been told, is just as good, if not better, is The Princess Bride. I love The Princess Bride. It's got everything you need to support a family around the television. It's romantic, so you keep the ladies. It's action-packed. There's sword fighting in it, so you keep the boys and the guys. A little bit of comedy thrown in there. It's just a good movie. It's a story of Buttercup, a lovely lady who is in love with Wesley. Wesley and Buttercup realize they're destined to be together, so Wesley runs off to make his riches so he can come back and marry his true love, Buttercup. While he's gone, Buttercup is taken away. She's being forced to marry Prince Humperdinck. I don't want to give anything away here. It's a really good show. But there's, when Wesley returns, he realizes his true love is pledged to be married to someone else. And he searches over the land. In the meantime, she gets kidnapped. And he runs and runs and runs after these bad guys, these three bad people who have kidnapped his true love. He climbs mountains. He has a sword fight with a great Spaniard who has studied sword fighting his whole life. He takes on a big giant. He never stops pursuing his love. And again, I don't want to give anything away in case anyone now, maybe you're tempted, you want to go out and rent the movie or pick up the book and read it. But you can probably guess what happens in the end since it's a good romantic love story. I couldn't help thinking about that today when we read the first lesson. First lesson comes from Ezekiel, and everyone, not everyone, that's too much, too broad. But growing up, let's say, when speaking of the Old Testament, I would hear on many occasions, well, the Old Testament's wrath, that's wrath, but the New Testament's love. Well, we're in the Old Testament today, and this passage, this text from Ezekiel, this text cries out that Christ pursues and provides and protects his people. Ezekiel writes about a word that came to him, a word from the Lord. Keep in mind a little bit about the background of what's going on here. Ezekiel's in Babylon. Okay, he's been carted off. He's with the rest of the people, taken off from Jerusalem, and he's out in Babylon. I mean, they have a pretty good life. They can, you know, make a good living, but it's not the same. I mean, they've been taken away from their home. I don't know that you could make it nice enough for anyone to say, yeah, it's okay that you've carted me away and killed a good portion of the people that I used to know, but boy, it sure is nice and lovely here. It's never going to be the same. And he receives a word from the Lord, and he goes out and tells the people that the Lord is promising Israel that he will pursue his people himself. He's not going to send anyone. He himself will pursue his people. Ezekiel writes, I myself will search for my sheep, and then I will look after them. And as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock, I will look after my sheep and I will rescue them. And it goes back when I think of this movie, this Princess Bride, the guy, I mean, he went through everything. He climbed up cliffs. Like I said, he battled swordsmen. He risked his life to find his true love. Many years back, how old's our dog now? 5 years old. Many years back when we were looking for what type of a dog would fit into our family. Can't say that we were ever serious about it, but we looked through many different dogs, and one that came up was a bloodhound. I think I just liked it because, you know, you remember the Beverly Hillbillies, and now I saw the bloodhound hanging there. It looked kind of neat. Well, I don't know if you realize or not, but there's a couple interesting things about bloodhounds. One, that you are expected to, it's not required, but you are expected to tell your local police department that you are the owner of a bloodhound. Did you know that? Because they are that good at tracking. When there's a missing person, if there are bloodhounds in the area, they will at times ask the owner of those bloodhounds if you could maybe come down and just try. Just see if it happens. Another thing that was interesting is when you do watch some of those older movies, you see Jed Clampett, they always had that bloodhound, and that bloodhound's pulling them through the woods, isn't it? And I've often wondered, well, why don't you just cut the leash and let the thing run? There's a reason for that. A bloodhound will track a scent until it either finds what it's after or it dies. Did you know that? That's why it said you must have a yard, and if you've seen our yard, we're certainly not going to put a fence around it, so I determined that probably wasn't a good dog for us to have. But that bloodhound will track and track. There's a story about a young child in Denver that a bloodhound tracked that went missing. And that bloodhound ended up tracking, I think it was over 10 hours before it became severely exhausted, and they had to give it water and let it and make it take rest because it wouldn't give up the scent trail. I think the Lord's giving this kind of notion to Ezekiel. Tell the people, I'm not interested in sending people to look over you. I'm going to pursue you myself. I'm going to search for my scattered sheep, and I'm going to gather you all together. He's not going to give up. And he's going to do it till death. I often wondered, why do you pick the good shepherd only a couple Sundays after Easter? Maybe there's your answer right there. He did search for us till death. It was his death on a cross when he finally, truly gathered his sheep. But the searching continues. Even after death, he continues to pull through his Holy Spirit his scattered sheep back into his flock. But upon finding his people, the shepherd is different. The shepherd is going to gather and provide for them. I'm going to gather you and pasture you and tend to you. And this fits in very well with the psalm we had today. Everyone knows the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But sometimes what we forget is, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What could be better for a sheep to lie down in green pastures? I want to get up and there's all the food, all the green pasture I could chew on when you're laying in the cool grass. Not to continue to pull illustrations from our dog, but when the sun's out and she's just interested in going outside, she likes to go out and she likes to go up on top of the hill, look over the domain, and she likes to just lay in the tall green grass. If there's a patch of tall green grass, that's where she wants to lay. He leads me beside quiet waters. So I got grass, cool grass, quiet waters. Ezekiel's pulling this. The 23rd Psalm was written hundreds and hundreds of years before Ezekiel's writing. But he continues to take that same notion to the people that the Holy Spirit inspired the psalmist to write. I'm going to gather you and I'm going to pasture you. I'm going to put you in a nice place. Right now you're in Babylon. Right now things are bad. I'm going to bring you home. It's funny, someone once said recently, unfortunately, on television, I heard, the more faith you have, the more God will give you, the more blessings He'll bestow upon you. Be careful. Some of the televangelists out there, I think that prosperity gospel is maybe a little bit too much on television these days. I'm here to tell you the Lord will give you everything you need, but you won't get everything you want. There's a big difference. There's a lot of things I want, and I know that I'm not going to get them. But I do know that I have everything I need. And in the 23rd Psalm and also in Ezekiel's prophecy, the Lord says, I will bring you and I will keep you and I will provide for you. You will have what you need. And then finally, the Lord promises to completely protect His people. This is a tough one. I struggled with this one most of the week. You say, why? Why? It seems pretty obvious. Well, partially. Ezekiel writes, I will search for the lost sheep and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. We certainly love to hear that. In our time of weak faith, we love when the Holy Spirit coddles us and lifts us up, fills our heart and says, I'm here. I'm here to protect you. But Ezekiel continues to write, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. And what's so interesting about that is he's not writing about the Babylonians. He's writing about the sheep in the flock. He's writing about those who should have been taking care of the sheep all along. This could mean a number of things. Could mean those who are within the flock that lead people astray. I will extinguish. I will exterminate. I will destroy. Could be focused mostly on the shepherds, the under-shepherds, who were supposed to be taking care of the sheep. All this time they were in charge. God put them there. And now look where His people are. They're scattered. They're in Babylon. They're actually scattered throughout that whole area at this particular point. Things don't really change much today, do they? We have people. I think Lighthouse, we're so young, we're still doing really well. But there are churches that have people that lead others astray. There are pastors who lead others astray. And I, for one, when I read this, should the Lord be talking about pastors, it's actually quite frightening. Don't lead people astray. I will destroy. Actually, the words exterminate. I will exterminate. I will remove you. So, maybe the real focus of the passage is that I will shepherd the flock with justice. I can handle that. I pray to preach a good sermon, not mislead you. And I pray that none of us mislead each other. And I think for the most part, God's people are good sheep. And they do tend to the flock very well. We tend to each other quite well. We take care of each other's needs. We supply for each other. I mean, just think of one time when anyone here said, I could really use a little bit of help, and how many people said, I'll help, and they showed up. All I mentioned was on Saturday before Easter, I'd kind of like to clean the sanctuary. We had so many people here, there almost wasn't enough rags and towels and things to give to people. There was so much help. I don't think we were here for what? An hour? It was an hour and a half of maybe solid work and a half hour of just talking, sharing stories. And it was done. We do go out of the way to help each other. And the Lord does rule His flock with justice. Eventually the people were pulled back. Ezekiel's prophecy came true, partially. God did pull everyone back to Jerusalem. People left Babylon. They returned to where they once were. They rebuilt the temple. But I think it goes beyond that. That's a partial fulfillment of prophecy. The full fulfillment is what is still happening and what eventually in the end will be the final fulfillment of the prophecy, when all of His sheep will be returned to the fold and we will be with Him in green pastures of heaven. It's a love story. The Old Testament is not full of wrath. This is God saying, I'm going to take care of this myself. I'm going to go find my sheep. And for all of you who like a good love story, this one ranks up there with the best of them. The Bible is a love story of what God is willing to do to bring His people back into His flock. He will not give up. He will pursue each and every one of us until we are in green pastures beside streams of quiet water. Amen.